everybody here, right? Thank you. Well, welcome to this, the Planning Control Committee of North Arts District Council. This is our December meeting, today the 14th of December, and we're in the Sparrow Ballroom in the old way in Leicester. If I can ask you to please listen to announcements.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sparrow Ballroom. Please note that fire exits are situated in the three corners of this room and are indicated by the green running man symbol. In the event of evacuation, please do not use the lifts. In a fire emergency, a continuous warning tone will operate. Should this happen, you must leave the building by the nearest fire exit and assemble at the far side of the car park. Arrangements are in place for the safe evacuation of mobility impaired persons. Please speak to supervisor staff in order that the emergency procedures can be explained. The entire Sparrow complex is a no-smoking area. Should you wish to smoke, it will be necessary to leave the building. An induction loop facility is available for hearing aid users. Please turn your hearing aid to the T or telephone setting. To avoid disruption to performances, members of the audience are asked to turn off all mobile devices. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll go straight into the meeting then. Apologies for us, as I have received your apologies.
Councillor Smith has asked that the part of his apologies.
Right, thank you. I have apologies for Councillor Smith. Okay, we'll go on to the minutes of our meeting on the 9th of November. Councillors, if you've been circulated with the minutes, I don't have time to digest them. Are there any comments, alterations, or may I take them as read? Okay. Very good, thank you very much. Councillor, we'll move on. I have had no notification of other business. My announcements this evening, first and foremost, happy Christmas. Father Christmas in front of you. And we will be having a bit of time for a little glass of something after the meeting. If you'd like to stay out for more. Members of the public and press may use their devices to film, photograph, or do a sound recording of the meeting, but please raise your hand to let me know that you're doing so. And I inform the present. Please do not use flash and disable any beeps or other sound notifications that may interfere with your device. In addition, can I remind all present that in line with Council policy, this meeting is being audio recorded. Can speakers please wait until they have a microphone before speaking? And please could members, officers and public speakers announce their names each time they speak and speak directly into the microphones to assist the members of the public. To clarify matters for registered speakers, members of the public have 5 minutes for each group of speakers, that is 5 minutes for objectors and 5 minutes for supporters. This 5 minute time limit also applies to member applicants. The bell will sound after 4.5 minutes at the warning and again at 5 minutes to signify that the speaker must cease. I have agreed that items 6 and 7. So members are reminded that any declarations of interest in respect of any business set out on the agenda should be declared either as a disclosable pecuniary interest or a declarable interest and are required to notify the chair of the nature of any interest declared at the commencement of the relevant item on the agenda. Members declaring a disclosable pecuniary interest must withdraw from the meeting for the duration of the item. Members declaring a declarable interest, which requires that they leave the room under paragraph 7.4 code of conduct, can speak on the item but must leave the room before the debate and vote. We have a number of speakers this evening and with your permission I will introduce them as we get to their part on the agendas. So without further ado, we'll go on to page 1 of your agenda, item number 6, which is to discuss and debate the land adjacent to Elm Tree Farm close in Purton. Mr. Ellis, welcome.
Thank you, Chairman. Simon Ellis, Development and Conservation Manager. I think we've seen these a few times before. That's the site that you've heard of, and that's the route into and out of Holwell. So I have a number of updates, if I may go through them. First of all, members will have received a copy of an email of 8 December containing the letter of objection to this application from Holwell Parish Council. This states the whole of Harrow Parish Council continue to object to the proposed construction traffic route through Holwell, as they consider the route is unsafe for large HGVs, and in particular, not wide enough to accommodate HGVs operating on a two-way carriageway. I've also received confirmation from the Council's environmental health officers that they raise no objection to the application on noise grounds. I have also circulated a letter sent to David Scholes, Chief Executive, and attached opinion from the applicant's legal advisor, Peter Village QC. The Council received these documents on Monday evening, and following a meeting with Carla Holmes on Tuesday, I sought clarification from them as to the status of these documents. They confirmed this lunchtime that the documents are additional supporting documents for this application and the other application, which is not being presented on this agenda, application reference 17027781POC, which was referred to in paragraph 1.29 of this report. Both documents have been placed on the Council's website this afternoon as further supporting documents relating to both applications. Before explaining the contents of this legal opinion, I also have an update on the progress of the second application. In paragraph 1.29, the report states that the statutory determination period for this other application has been extended until the 31st of January 2018, with an at that time anticipated committee report for the January 18 meeting of the Planning Control Committee. I can confirm that following the meeting I had with Carla Holmes, they have agreed a further extension to the statutory expiry period to 28th of February 2018. To enable time to consult on any revised proposals which may come forward as a result of the ongoing negotiations taking place between the applicant, officers and Hertfordshire County Council Highway Authority. On this basis, I do not anticipate that the alternative application will be reported to the January 18 Planning Control Committee meeting. Now returning to the legal advice, I'll now highlight the key points that this advice is trying to get across to lenders and the context for decision-making that this sets. This summary is not my opinion, and I can confirm that we are reviewing the advice and what it means for enforcement and any future decisions of the committee. This review is ongoing, but I can confirm, however, that I have no reason to change the recommendation of refusal set out in this report. So what is the applicant trying to advise the committee? Firstly, it questions the enforceability of the condition. The advice also states that the council cannot force the developer to undertake work outside the application site, such as new passing places or a whole new road to enable construction and development. There is no requirement under the terms of the planning permission to require works off-site other than offer access to the site off the highway. The condition requires the applicant to provide a construction route, and it is implicit in this context any such construction route must be on the existing public highway. The advice also states that, in their opinion, the applicant have a strong case for an award of costs against the council in any appeal. Members will be aware, as it says in the report, that the applicant has already lodged an appeal against the decision of this committee to refuse the last application for the construction management plan, which was refused permission at the special meeting of the Planning Control Committee held on the 28th of September 2018. In my view, as I said earlier, this advice has no bearing on the recommendation set out in this report. The condition requires the council's written agreement to a construction management plan, and in accordance with the advice I received from Hertfordshire County Council Highway Authority, this proposed construction management plan, which contains less mitigation than the previous plan, is not acceptable for the reasons set out in the recommendation. Carla Holmes continue to work proactively with officers and the County Council to try and achieve a construction management plan that is acceptable to the Highway Authority. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Burns. Which to speak, we have Mr. John Byrne, who is on one against car traffic.
As you say, I represent HATS, Holwell against Carla Traffic. and other road users who have objected in the strongest terms to the proposed construction route through the centre of Holwell Village. We consider this application to be an insult to the planning system, the officers and local people. Moreover, it is an irresponsible waste of precious officer and committee time. Carl was asked to investigate more acceptable alternatives to the construction route, including the off-road option from Pigeon Road, south of Person, which avoids both villages. What do they do? They totally ignore this request and place before the committee this wholly unacceptable proposal, that is, a deliberate slap in the face to the committee. This action clearly demonstrates the total disdain that Carla has for the local authorities and local people. They cannot be trusted to honour any commitments they make. Condition 6 is there to ensure that permitted development is constructed without harming highway safety and efficiency. The safety and efficiency of the entire Holwell construction route can be reliably tested using tracking or swept path analysis. This is a computer modelling tool that can simulate proposed traffic conditions. The potential for accidents can only be assessed with a risk assessment of proposed conditions, not with a review of existing conditions, as Carla has done. In addition, tracking would compare existing and proposed traffic levels and the existing and proposed content of traffic, including heavy goods vehicles and the scores of contractors' vans travelling to and from the site. It could also factor in additional domestic vehicles using the route as new houses are completed during the construction period of 3 years. Given the huge increase in the number of maximum width heavy goods vehicles travelling through Holwell in both directions, some 50 to 60 per day, the dimensions or geometry of the road also require assessment. This is to ensure that vehicles can flow freely and safely in both directions without undue delay and without the need for dangerous reversing. None of this has been done to the required standard. For example, testing the whole route to see if an HGV is able to pass a bus safely. Or if it has been done, it has not been made public. It can only be assumed that such analysis is damaging to Carla's case. As representatives of local residents, we would strongly urge the committee to reject this application and require Carla to substantiate their belief that a safe and efficient route is possible by providing the appropriate tracking evidence I've just described, and that has been requested for a very long time. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Now I'd like to welcome Councillor Claire Strong, who would like to address us as a Councillor Advocate. Good evening, Councillor.
Good evening, Chairman. Thank you. Good evening, Chairman. Good evening, Committee. Good evening, Officers. Good evening, members of the public. I'm ever so sorry, but I'm back here again, and I hope you can all hear me. The last time that this plan came to the Committee, and officers were asking you to discharge the condition and leave it to the Highways Authority to enter into a Section 278 agreement with Carla Holmes on the traffic management plan, you very wisely, I believe, took the decision not to do that and that you wanted to retain the committee's involvement in looking at what the plans were going to be and what it would come back with. And you refused that traffic management plan that was put before you. Now, when you refused it, your main reason for refusal was on its safety grounds. And I'm just going to go back into my little frame because I had it and I've got the little page up trying to find it, where the wording that you used was the committee resolved not to approve the construction management plan as it did not consider there could be a satisfactory or safety construction route through Holwell, which I think is very, very important. What you decided as a committee
And I know not all of you supported that recommendation, but that was the majority of the review, and that is now what stands. And that is what Carla are appealing against, because there is an appeal being lodged. What I think is important about this particular plan that is now coming before you is that it has very little mitigations to even try and attempt to make this unsafe route safe for all those that wish to use it. If in your papers, and I'm sure you've read them, but I would just like to highlight a few little bits, and that is the part that is in 4.3.3, where the applicant submitted a road safety appraisal, which concludes that proposed road is not likely to result in a material increase in risk to road users. However, if you have read that report that has been submitted, you will note that it only considers what the traffic is like in the village as it is. It hasn't even considered what the traffic in the village is going to be like if there were all the construction traffic coming through. It just says it's quite a safe route for the users that use it today. What it does highlight is how bad the Bedford Road entrance is into the village. And I would remind members that when you consider the application for the crematorium that is just along the Bedford Road, Highways came to you and made proposals that you actually had to change the entrance in and out of the cemetery because the Bedford Road was so dangerous. And I do find it astonishing that Highways have done nothing to the Bedford Road, to that junction, to be able to try and make that safe. And again, in that report, it shows that there were 4 accidents on that route. If you also, in your papers, just below that piece I pointed out, there's 2 paragraphs here which, again, I really need you to read and read again. One of the problems the officers have is that in refusing this, the reason for refusals is mainly about the lack of clear mitigation. When you refused this application before, you refused it on safety grounds. And therefore, I really am asking you as a committee, when you come to the reasons for refusal, you also include the same reason that you refused the previous application. And the reason you need to do that, and it would be lovely if you could do it unanimously, was that it will strengthen the validity of the earlier refusal. And I think it then shows consistency as well as this committee in what you are going to be saying back to Carla. What you said before was that you didn't consider that the route was safe to send traffic through the village. And I hope that you will say it exactly the same, and I'm sure the officers can give you that wording. Of course, the officers cannot give you that wording because, in their view, Highways have not said it's an unsafe route. You, as a committee, determined it was an unsafe route. So therefore, I ask that you do it again. I hope that that's sort of clear to you, and to me it is really, really key when you are making this refusal that you do it unanimously and you use the previous wording that you used before, in addition to all the other reasons that the officers have given to you about the poorness of the plan that they have sent. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillors, do you have any questions or clarification of councillors from the presentation?
Put
your microphones on that.
Yes, thank you, Councillor, and thank you for referring to paragraph 4.3.3, when you were talking about the road safety appraisal. I wondered if you had any further thoughts on what we hear from Mr. Young Husband from Ross County Council, who says that he believes that road safety analysis was conducted over the school half term on the 24th of October.
I would like to hope that Highways would do a full safety analysis of the whole of the route from the point at which you go into the village and the point at which you go into Purton, and that they would look at every bend, they'd look at every carriageway width, and they would actually think about what the width of the traffic is and the width of the carriageway. The dimensions are in there, and it does take, if you put construction, the traffic through there. As we know, all those that users from Purton and Holworth use that road today know that if you are stuck with either the refuse truck going through, you have to stay behind it until you can find it somewhere to pass it. If you happen to meet the bus, again, you've got to find a space where you and the bus can pass. And a lot of the areas of the carriageway, when you put a construction vehicle in that, the roadway, because it is so narrow, you're left with 1.5 metres. I happen to know that that's 1.5 metres, because when I'm diving, I do measurements underwater and do it for long. So I know that my route span is 1.5. That is what you are left with. You cannot get a car in that distance. That is why this route is so unsafe. There has been nothing in that construction management plan to actually address the majority of the route, which is so narrow, and even the road when it straightens and it goes from the whole wall out, it's gone past the moat house, and it goes out towards the Carla site. That road is so narrow, it doesn't even have a white line down the middle. Doing a study during school half-term holidays, my opinion on that, it was a pointless exercise.
Thank you. That's probably the longest and most succinct answer that I've ever heard. Thank you. Are there any other questions?
I don't really ask the questions.
Thank you, Councillor Strong. I'd now like to invite Simon Ellis to respond to any issues that may have been raised during the presentation. Simon.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm only going to clarify one point. Councillor Strong referred back to the recommendation that was put to you on the 28th of September. The recommendation was not to discharge the condition. It was to resolve to discharge the condition subject to completion of the Section 278 agreement, and only to discharge that condition if the 278 agreement is completed. That was the very carefully worded recommendation that was put to you on the 28th of September. It wasn't a discharge of the condition. And there were steps in there to prevent the developer from having a deemed discharge in that process as well. So there were certain caveats in there. So that the recommendation on the 28th of September was not quite as straightforward as Councillor Strong's suggestion, just to clarify that. And of course, that's one of the two boards that you've seen over the last few weeks anyway. So that's the only clarification on those. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers. Councillors. Councillor, Mr.
Thank you, Chairman. As the Chairman of PACT has said, here we are again. things were expected, things would be called for from this committee, swept up analysis, proper safety audit. Almost seems a waste of our time to be looking at this. There will be lots of officer time taken up with this. They haven't addressed all these issues, which our officers have very carefully pointed out for us, which basically means, in my opinion, this application fails. I mean, why couldn't they have done it properly and fully, addressing all the things we've been over this for several times, and everybody to a proper conclusion. But in the state that this is presented, things, as I pointed out, that these safety audits have apparently carried out in a half term, no traffic is going to be nowhere near what it would be in normal times. I just find it very disappointing from cover. But I am buoyed up by the officers' forensic dissection of all the things that they have not provided, that they've fallen short of. And I can only say I agree with our officers' recommendation wholeheartedly.
Thank you. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Councillor Paul Clark. The concern I have is that whilst I support on the evidence I've read for the refusal, what I'm still concerned about is the safety aspects. And that comes back to what Councillor Strong mentioned. The reasons we gave the refusal at our last meeting, I would like to see included as reasons for refusal in this particular one. in this particular application, because it is safety, and it is all very well a developer going ahead and trying to resolve the issue with technical people. I am aware of a number of emails from various parts of Holwell about the 262 letters of objection that were put in, and you know, then getting them on the portal so that people could see them. The residents are being seemingly excluded from this consultation. Yes. I do take exception to the letter received today at 5 to 1, where it said the local planning authority cannot use condition 6 to block the development. We are not seeking to block the development. We are seeking to find a safe route that does not put residents at risk, which is something Carla Holmes seemed to be totally uninterested in. Perhaps as a result of this, and I'm going to upset the legal officer here, corporal manslaughter, the responsibility may be theirs should they manage to force this through, which I hope they do not. There is other options. They should go away and look at it. As Councillor Spencer Smith says, stop wasting our time coming back just with the same application, tweaked and tweaked again to try and get it through. I'm happy to propose the officer's recommendation if nobody else is willing to start things off, Mr. Chairman.
Explain that in your previous decision you made a declaration that you didn't think the route was a safe route or that it couldn't be safe. And you'll notice that the recommendation does not explicitly say that. It talks about the inadequacies of the construction management plan. And I even went so far as to directly ask the Highway Authority if they could answer that question. And in 4.311, was the answer I got. So I quoted that in full. So what I wanted to make sure in writing this report is, do the Highway Authority have a view on whether or not it's a safe route without the mitigation measures that would be delivered under the 278 agreement and under the previous construction management plan? And that's the answer I got. So I've left the recommendation as suggested by the Highway Authority. And what I've also explained in the report, and you'll see the reason for refusal of your last decision under paragraph 4.3.2. And what I've explained is that there's already an appeal lodged against that decision that you made on the 28th of September. We've not had formal notification of that from the planning inspectorate, so we don't know how that's going to take place or the time frame for that is. I've said it in the book, if you go with the recommendation that I've put to you, you're actually undermining your earlier decision, because this construction management plan has less mitigation than the one that you refused. However, as an officer who has taken advice from the Highway Authority, I cannot professionally recommend that you use that reason for refusal, because in my opinion, without support from the Highway Authority, you don't have sufficient evidence to make a declaration that the route isn't safe, isn't capable of being safe. So I outlined those risks to you on the 28th of September. There was already an appeal lodged against that decision. If you refuse this application this evening, for either the reason that I'm suggesting, or you go back and strengthen it for the reason that you came up with on the 28th of September, it's likely that the planning inspector will co-join those appeals and look at both of them at the same time. But I think you need to bear in mind that you've already declared, the committee have already declared, that the previous scheme wasn't safe, and that's your reason. And now I'm recommending that, paradoxically, I'm recommending that you don't support that decision, but I can understand how you would want to do that to maintain the credibility of your earlier decision.
Thank you. We know that whenever there is an appeal, any appeal is taken predominantly on the reasons for refusal for that particular application. And we've been told over the years that one must not add new reasons or cannot add new reasons for refusal after our decision has been made and published. Would it not be pertinent to actually include the previous strong feeling that, not that we say it is unsafe, but we believe it is unsafe, and that is the reason for our refusal. Can we not append that to this as a fail-safe, if you like?
As I said, I've given you the inherent risks that the committee are declaring in an appeal context, that they are taking a view that the room isn't safe. And that is a view that you're taking that is contrary to the advice of the Higher Authority. It was on the 28th of September, and it is this time, because I sought clarification from them. I wanted them to tell you, do they think it's safe without mitigation or not? And they won't give you a black and white answer, because it's in their view, and they're probably right, we're not highway engineers, I'm not, or not. It probably isn't as simple as that. You probably, if it's a public highway, and you probably can't just say it's not safe to use. The public highway is there to enable people to get from A to B doing legitimate business. Unfortunately, these people want to build homes on a site they've got permission for, and in most circumstances, in all circumstances, they are allowed to use the public highway. However, having said that, if you are minded to use the same reason for refusal you did last time, my suggestion would be that you add it on to the bottom of the reason for refusal. You change the wording of the catch-all phrase at the bottom of the recommendation, and you just add it to the bottom to say, these are the inadequacies of the construction management plan, and what's more, in line with the previous decision, the committee's view is that you just add the same wording as you did last time.
Okay. Councillor Rice.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Councillor Rice, I was very happy to move right forward and support Councillor Paul Clark and second his recommendation that we refuse this application. We obviously need to refuse it on strong grounds, and these are strong grounds in case it goes to appeal. I'm not quite sure how we will fare by adding to this. I feel the best, in other words, by saying it's not safe. I think we are saying it's not safe by the reasons that we are refusing it now. So I'm happy to second Councillor Clark's recommendation that we accept that this is refused.
Thank you. I've noted that. Councillor Stuart Hanscom.
Councillor Stuart Hanscom. I've got personal reasons not to be very happy with Kenton Highways getting an argument with the pavement a week ago on an unsafe pavement. So I am very disappointed, however, that Highways aren't represented tonight. I think Councillor Strong has raised yet another point about this route, and that is the issue of Bedford Road. And I'd have liked to have had some comments from Highways regarding that, how unsafe that is, and having looked at what they did at the crematorium, she's got a very good point there. No, but I think it just underlines the point that we do, and I will quote what the officer has written in 4.3.6, and he very clearly says, if we are minded to refuse the application and do not repeat the earlier refusal, we undermine the validity of our appeal. So it's very important, it seems to me, and I would like to move an amendment that we add condition of refusal, as Mr. Ellis has suggested, at the bottom of the list of refusals, the wording which is in 4.3.2, that the local planning authority does not consider that there could be a satisfactory or safe construction travel route through Holwell. Therefore, the proposed CMP conflicts with the requirements of Policy T1 of the North Arts District Submission Local Plan 2011 to 2031. I think it's essential that we have that so that we are consistent. Otherwise, we're actually saying two different things, and it will very much confuse the issue.
Does any other councillor wish to case, sorry, Councillor Spencer Smith, if you just come back.
Yes, just to pitch it back up, what Councillor Stewart has to say. When we look at the actual advice under 4.3.11 that came back from Parks Highways, Mr. Ellis is absolutely right that they don't say black and white, that it's say what I say. But is there not a case for saying the equivocation that is in them on a matter of safety, the equivocation that comes in this advice form, is in itself a reason that we would like to have advice from them which is not so equivocal? We don't want advice which is doubtful on the one hand and on the other. So that backs up farm safety concerns, that we do want the full spectrum analysis. We do want the whole nine yards.
Thank you. Mr. Ellis.
Just to try and make coherent sense of the wording, and what you could do is, on the last paragraph of the recommendation, if you strip out the phrase "due to," you could say, notwithstanding these inadequacies, and then you flip back to the reason for refusal of the old decision. So, notwithstanding these inadequacies, the local planning authority does not consider there could be a satisfactory safe construction route to Revolver. The proposed construction management plan therefore conflicts with the requirements of Policy 2.1. So I think if you phrased it in that way, you've captured all the inadequacies that the Highway Authority put to you, and you've also been consistent with your earlier decision, and you've captured them both. So that would be the way that you achieve that objective.
I think we've got that. Are you happy with that?
I'm happy to accept that amendment.
So I have a proposal for the recommendation from Councillor Paul Clark, seconded by Councillor Mark Rice, and that is for the amended recommendation for refusal. Are you happy with that? And those in favour of refusal? That is unanimous. Item number 7, page 27 of your agendas. And this is to consider the land of Holwell where a person around Holwell. Mr. Ray. Good evening, Mr. Ray. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair. Since the report was written, Chair, I have received several bits of correspondence, and I'll just go through these now. The first one is comments we've received from Purton Parish Council, who advises that the report does not provide an update on the progress of the Purton neighbourhood plan. They advise that the plan is now being examined, with the inspector's report due before Christmas. The Parish Council have asked that this is acknowledged in the weight that is given to the neighbourhood plan in the decision on this application. I have checked this with the council's neighbourhood plan officer, who confirms that the examination is actually nearing completion and that the examiner's report is imminent. As it stands, however, and notwithstanding the progress on the neighbourhood plan to the examination stage, the work that can be attributed to the neighbourhood plan is still, in my opinion, limited in terms of the planning decisions, as I've stated in the officer report. Secondly, Chairman, I've received comments from the Hertfordshire County Council as the Highway Authority. The Highway Authority advised that it does not wish to raise an objection to the development, subject to a number of conditions and highway informities. In addition, the Authority would require a Section 106 agreement to secure a construction and logistics plan and a support for a travel plan agreement. Thirdly, the County Council archaeologist has advised that a written scheme of investigation for the site has now been agreed with the County Council and with the archaeological consultants for the applicants. Work to commence the trial trenching on site have not yet commenced, and the applicant has advised that this will now take place in January. I have been advised by the council's historic environment advisor to continue with my current recommendation for reviews of archaeological grounds until such time as the WSI and the fieldwork has been carried out and a satisfactory report has been received, and that it contains sufficiently certain information that no further archaeological investigations are required prior to determination of the application. However, the officer is satisfied with the data that has been submitted and therefore recommends a slight variation to the reason for refusal. And this relates to the deletion of the words geophysical survey in reason for refusal 3. So therefore, the second last sentence in the reason for refusal 3 on page 47 of the agenda on the report, it should read, in the absence of a suitable archaeological field evaluation, there is insufficient information to determine the importance of any archaeological remains on the site. Fourthly, Chair, I've received comments from Historic England, who advised that they do not wish to offer any formal comments on the application. They do, however, recommend that the views are sought from the Council's specialist conservation and archaeological advisors as relevant. And finally, Chair, progress on the Section 106 matters has been made since the previous application. However, at this stage, the Section 106 matters have not progressed sufficiently to the satisfaction of the Council, and therefore, this reason for refusal remains as set out in the report. So I'll just take you through the slides now. This is the site on the edge of the village. Site is within the rural area beyond the green. This is the Hallwell Turner corner.
Can you speak up?
Sorry. This is the Hallwell Turner corner. This is the approach in the other direction on the Hallwell Turn. The site's just on the This is a view from Hallwell Turn into the application site. This is North Mead, the property at the northern end of the site. Further views into the site. This is looking back towards the northern boundary. And this is the boundary with the consented scheme for 78 dwellings. This is the southern boundary of the site of the Howbridge Way. Further views north across the site. And this is a view of the Hanbridge Way. The site here is on the right-hand side. Site on the left-hand side here, this is the Hanbridge Way. And this is the eastern boundary of the site, which is denoted by this landscape buffer. This is the agricultural field on the other side of the eastern boundary of the site. Again, photograph looking back towards the site here along the Hanbridge Way. Location plan for the site. This is the consented scheme. This is the application site here. And this is the illustrative master plan that's been submitted, showing a slightly reduced developable area. In summarising, Chair, I would advise the committee that, as I did previously with the last application for up to 99 dwellings, the benefits of delivering new housing would not, in my opinion, outweigh the fundamental issues that the proposal is not an appropriate development for this rural location outside the village boundary. And therefore, would ask the committee to support the officer recommendation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Raven. I'd like to welcome this evening Councillor Diane Burden, Burden Parish Council, who would like to address the committee.
Because this application, as you have read from the officer's report,
is remarkably similar to the application that you refused back in September. The only real difference amounts to slightly fewer houses within a slightly smaller built area, but otherwise we find it very hard to spot any difference at all. We object in the strongest possible terms to this application, and we support, in the main, the very full, considered and balanced report of your officers. And I would refer you to page, excuse me, I would refer you to page 32 of your report, where the Perth Parish Council's objections are listed as bullet points. It's very clear from the officer's report that Gladman have not dealt with issues of concern from the last occasion. They have not dealt with environmental issues and the issue of environmental sustainability. They have not dealt in any way adequately with Section 106. And as you've just heard, they have not dealt adequately at all with the need for predetermination archaeology. I just pull those three out as examples. The fact that they've just bummed another application in, which I have to say, ladies and gentlemen, is very typical Gladman behaviour. In our view, the development proposal is not sustainable, therefore not in accordance with national policy contained in the National Planning Policy Framework, which is also contrary to both adopted and emerging local planning policies. And whilst Mr. Ray feels he can't give any more weight to where our neighbourhood plan is now, I would urge you to give a little bit more weight. Every single step along the way allows you to give a little bit more weight to our emerging neighbourhood plan. It is pretty well through, in fact, we think it's finished its examination. We are awaiting its report, not merely imminently, but before Christmas. I'm only sorry that timescales and meant it's not ready for me tonight. I don't really want to go on, because there's really nothing more I'm going to be saying other than say last time. But perhaps simply to emphasise the lack of sustainability in the proposal, the sensitivity of the archaeology, the the sheer overdevelopment on the edge of Perth, and of course the overriding prematurity, not just in relation to the emerging neighbourhood plan and local plan, but also the fact at the moment there is no access for construction traffic to the site next door. If there was never any access for construction traffic to the site next door, that would just remain a blank field. And giving planning permission to a site even further over is going to give a very isolated piece of development. And on that basis of prematurity alone, this application should be reduced. Chairman, I'll leave it at that because I've said it all before, and I'm sure you've read it all before. But if there are any questions, I'd have to leave.
Thank you very much. Members, do you have any questions or clarification? No. No. Thank you for your presentation.
Very disappointed that actually Gladman put in a revised application, which, as we've heard, has very little difference in it, except to the number of dwellings, which has been reduced down to about 85. This site is not in the local plan. It was never even a draft in local plan. It was never even considered as a site for development. So the fact that it has come forward, and the way that it has come forward, it is now standing outside of the village boundary, or the proposed village boundary that they will have. What I would like to remind you is that when we had a similar situation in Offaly, which I also represent, when I was here, again as a member advocate to speak against that development, I also asked that you considered that, again, when I was trying to strengthen the reasons for refusal, again, it was about the impact, the size of it that this development would have in the village and its amenities. And this is exactly the same. The village of Purton has a very large development in the field next door to it, which at the moment doesn't have a construction management plan. Disappointed that highways don't seem to be aware that there isn't a good construction traffic route for a plan that Wythoe has got to develop and therefore to even consider what the impact would be on this development. And can you imagine it, if it did ever get permission, that we'd have two lots of construction traffic coming through to the villages, because I'm sure they're trying to develop them at the same time. This is an unwelcome, and it's not wanted. There is going to be, as I'm sure the village of Purton knows, there is going to be other sites within the village that will no doubt come forward with development. But this one certainly is not wanted, and I urge you to refuse it, and I urge you to try and scratch your heads and brains and think of any other reasons to strengthen the refusal, because undoubtedly it will go back to appeal. But there is not a safe route in construction traffic, and the additional traffic that this site, 85 houses, will generate on the village in Purton and Hall, it does not meet the sustainability test. So it is the impact and the size of the development that it would have to the surrounding areas. So I urge you to refuse. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. That's just final 1 minute. Councillors, do you have any questions on the presentation? Yeah. Thank you very much.
Clarification on the access route. We have as reason for refusal number 2, given the lack of essential services in the vicinity. How does that align with access to the site? We are not asking for an access statement. Can I see clarity? Would that come in at the level of if permission were going to be granted? So it's clarity on that is 1 point. Also, because there are 2 applications, can one be considered against the other due to the impacts if 2 went ahead at the same time? Should they grant permission, what would be the impact of the village? Is that another reason for refusal? And we mentioned T1, it's not in accordance with the local plan, which I can't see in here, but I'm willing to be corrected if I'm wrong. Could I see clarification on those 3 points, please, Mr. Chairman?
I'll see clarification. We consider the 2 applications.
Sorry, the previous application, item 6 on this agenda.
And we're talking about the traffic management.
Because we seem to have got one for that, but it could be that I am misunderstanding. It should only come in if there was an application, if it was likely to be approved, or recommended for approval, in which case we can't mention it. But should we mention it that there's concerns about access to this particular site? We do start in reason 2 for refusal, given the lack of essential services in the vicinity of the site. The occupiers of the proposed dwellings would be heavily dependent on services provided. So would the constructor. And it's how we deal with that as a reason for refusal.
Okay, what I'm going to do then is ask Mr. Ray if he will expand upon the principle of an outline plan application and then the implications of the further things of it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Chair. Just on the first point, the clarity on the means of access. The means of access is included with this application, it's the only matter that isn't reserved. And it's shown through the adjoining site for the consented scheme. That could be achieved through a condition and an agreement through a Section 106 legal agreement as a means of providing that access. Secondly, on the point, the cumulative impact point, which you mentioned, that is something which could or would have been considered by the Highway Authority in making their comments. Clearly they've arrived at the view that they still don't object with this application, so we've had to take their advice on board. Unfortunately, we're not able to offer a higher reason for refusal on cumulative impact. And we have mentioned in the reason for refusal one the fact the application is beyond the village limits of Purton and is contrary to policy 6 of the current development plan, so it is in accordance with the development plan. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Spencer Smith.
Thank you, Chairman. And do we see anybody from Bradman who's come to explain the scheme to us? I don't think we do, do we? So, round it comes again. I want to congratulate our officers for doing another very thorough going over all this. I agree with all their reasons. I'd like to particularly pick up one under 4.320. Where he says the landscape impact of development will be severe, in my opinion, with the urbanising of the rural environment and one or two other things. And I feel this chimes very closely with what Diane earlier has been saying. And yet again, I see the thing that I objected to the last time this came before, where we see in 4.2.2, the applicant state that the application site represents a suitable and sustainable location of housing well located to the existing urban area. Urban is not an urban area. And just the whole way this thing is happening, they haven't come, they're not here to answer the questions. I'm beside myself, really. But well done, Mr. Ray. I think nothing more to add to that. I think you have absolutely put your finger on all the problems. And dear old Hertfordshire Highways, yes, so together this would mean the two of these sites together, 150 houses, let's say 200 cars. Oh, no problems there from Hertfordshire Highways. So, all right. Yeah, that's my thoughts on the matter, and I propose to put forward the officer's recommendation to refuse.
Thank you. Councillors, please hang on. Can you pass the mic down there, please? I'm just waiting for something to pass the Father Christmas train instead. Bring them in the ice cream. I'm happy to second the recommendation. Again, as I've already said, I'm disappointed that Hertfordshire Highways aren't here. And perhaps if we'd had more advice before the previous application was given overall initial permission, we wouldn't be in the mess we are now with a site that has very difficult access. Same position, and were this to be appealed and the appeal to be allowed, we'll be left in an even worse position. And I just wonder whether Mr. Ray can suggest, I appreciate he can, because it's highways that have to give that advice, but I'd still wish there was some way we could put a comment in regarding the lack of access to this, for construction to the summit. And if we can think of a wording for a reason for refusal that refers to the lack of access to the site, then I'll be grateful. But certainly I'll second the proposal for refusal in the first one. Thank you. Mr. Roy, any comment on highways issue?
Thank you, Chair. I think it will be difficult to add a highways reason for refusal, bearing in mind this is a reduced number of dwellings from the previous application, and there wasn't such a reason for refusal last time.
I'm going to make a comment actually. I do find that Hertfordshire Highways, being a county council myself, sometimes sit on the fence over why they could have splinters for a bit more. We do need, obviously, a definitive reply from them, but I don't think that that's going to influence our decision this evening. Councillor Strong was absolutely right when she mentions the outstanding rural beauty of this village, and that we have privilege to represent as well. and the adjacent countryside. I hope you looked at the photographs there, the site, the photographs across the site, adjacent to the AOMB. It's our beautiful countryside, quite apart from anything else there. You know, once it's concreted over, it's there forever, isn't it? It's absolutely awful. Personal to the village, with apart from wonderful residents, it has. sorry about that. It has a pub, it has a school, it has a lovely church, it has a great community spirit. There are so many different clubs and organisations that go on there, and it's a vibrant community. It feeds it off itself. If you start sticking, you know, 100 houses here, and then another 100 there, and so on and so forth, it will become a semi-urban dormitory. Yeah. People would have come in the morning. That may not be a reason for refusal, but it's a damn good reason for refusal. Okay, I'm going to ask Councillor Paul Clark, please.
Sorry, Councillor. I just wanted to check the fence bit was limited by the community services. But were you suggesting that a reason for refusal would be out of keeping with the area?
I was, whatever the wording may be, an adverse impact on the rural aspect.
Right, I'm happy to add that as a condition. I would seek officers' guidance. I also wanted to comment on Mr. Ray's comment about we didn't use the transport one objection last time. The point is, we are told repeatedly each application upon its merit. We learn things as we go along, so therefore adding it in at this stage I do not see a problem with, because there is concerns. Whilst the site is linked from the previous site on item 6, which is what Mr. Ellis said, there is obviously an issue there that needs to be overcome and should be should be a reason for refusal.
Chairman, just touching on the issue there about some of the other harm that was mentioned, if you look at reason for refusal 1, it does actually, it is specifically mentioning the detriment to the landscape character of the area, it refers to harm to the intrinsic beauty of the countryside and the developing outside of the village boundaries. So we think that's quite a comprehensive landscape and reason for refusal. On the highway issue, members are advised that previous refusal of planning permission, that is now going to an appeal. And there has been no material changes in circumstances since the refusal of that permission. And in the absence of support for reason for refusal from Hertfordshire Highways, we feel it would be very difficult to add such a reason for refusal now.
Can I ask, in the event that, let us suppose, God forbid, this application were granted as an outline application, we would then have the opportunity to comment and refuse, if necessary, on Highways grounds when a complete application came before.
That's the problem.
Chair, I think the principle of access would be established at the outline stage.
But they would have to do a construction management plan to that site in particular.
They may well be conditions, actually.
Yes, that's what I was trying to do, establish. Councillor Mantle.
Can I have the mic? Councillor Mantle. I'm not absolutely clear whether the advice from Highways is on the basis of both sites being developed simultaneously, consecutively, or what. But looking at the plan, I must say I'm very concerned about the thought of construction traffic going through the new development. And I would like to know whether the advice from Highways actually, the two areas talk to each other, and whether it's a single advice on the basis of both sites being developed.
Chair, the advice I've got is relates solely to this application. I haven't mentioned it. Give it to them.
In which case, Mr. Chairman,
what would our position be if we said that the cumulative effect of the two on the highways was something which we are very concerned about? Clearly, you can't have two construction sites going on at the same time, especially not as one of them gets access to the other.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether we would actually reach it. I think...
I'm really commenting on the adequacy of the access to this site for ongoing traffic and construction traffic.
I'm reminded of an application in Pidgin where they had the Lucas Lane site, the old cricket ground or whatever, and the hospital site, and the only access to that was all within way. And we were told by the highways and our officers that, in fact, although those applications came from the same meeting, they were independent, and that the application for one was adequate, and the application for the other was adequate, and they couldn't take them both together, which would have been very
good. Sorry, Mr. Chairman, disagree, but in this case, they're not independent because the access to one is through the other.
Thank you. Pulling away from the highway boundary. And this is the outline of the
the ground first floor rear extension. It's about 3.3 metres in depth with a hipped roof lower than the main ridge line of the house. And there are no windows on the rear elevation looking towards the properties to the north, just a single window looking to the side elevation across the church. It's a location plan. And the bin store is now located in this area here. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Good evening,
Mark. Thank you. I've come to represent quite a number of people from Kipton who strongly object to these plans. Just to read from my notes. Firstly, I'd like to point out that the heritage statement and application state that the 19th century buildings, which we've just seen up there, are to be removed, but omit to state that a large portion of the 17th century pitched roof will also have to be removed to accommodate the two-storey extension. This rear roof is typical of a cottage of this era. It provides a historic and picturesque view from the church, the road and the neighbouring gardens. To change this so dramatically would ruin the character of the row of cottages and lose a piece of history forever. The proposed extension would be built along the length of the shared drainage and directly above it. And I don't believe there's any plans to reroute it or there's any resolution to that. So I don't know what happens with that. Is that that's in use with three cottages at the moment? I would have thought that was acceptable to build on that. I have a copy of the old plans if anyone wants to see them, where the drainage is. The design, I've read in this report that it's still remaining a three-bedroom house, which I know, but it's, as I live in a three-bedroom cottage, it's very small bedrooms, and to sell it nowadays, you are highly unlikely to get a four-car family, but the proposal for this house to be built as a larger three-bedroom house is obviously aimed at a family, with a family room, kitchen, a large kitchen, and it's obviously aimed at a family which could potentially have three or four cars. I mean, as people must know, there is no parking in Church Lane now. It's absolutely chock-a-block. People have actually started parking in the churchyard, one on the grass the other night, and sometimes on the pathway. You can't cope with any more cars, and obviously to sell that house would no doubt would have a couple of cars, but to develop it into something which could have four adults with four cars working there, it just seems madness. Also we've had problems with emergency vehicles cannot access the top of the road, so with even more cars, as I say, it would just be impossible, and that could put somebody's life at risk. It's just not safe to have more cars in that area. I know you just spoke about the bins, so that as far as I can see in the plans, the application states plans do not include storage areas for most of the platforms, but I believe that you said that there was one. But not as far as I can see in the application at all. I'm sure you just need to address them so that they're not just out on the road, and to block the road, and indeed for the aesthetics earlier on there. The site is really the sole purpose of this increase in property value is for an owner who doesn't even live in it, who doesn't even live in the village, and it's at the detriment of losing a little bit of local history forever, not to mention creating problems for the actual residents that live there. From my point of view, I do believe it would reduce daylight into my kitchen, the wall. Instead of looking out onto a tree, trees in the churchyard. I would look out onto a wall which would be just a few yards away from my kitchen window. And it would reduce sunlight into my garden. Maybe not a huge amount, but it would reduce the light. Other people have also said it would reduce light in church lane and block views from the church and from church lane through to the other side where the green is. The bulk of the extension just seems totally out of place and inappropriate for such historic, picturesque, well-visited cottages, for no reason other to increase its value. Surely a listed building is listed to retain its history and character for future generations and should not be allowed to be changed so dramatically. It's on a slippery slope to changing, losing so much character in our little Hertfordshire villages. So on behalf of the Kilton residents, I'm asking you to object it. We can reject it.
Thank you very much. Councillors, do you have any questions to ask? No? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Wayne, would you like to comment on?
Just a couple of points, Chair. The mass roof drainage is a matter that's covered by building regulations. Mm-hmm. There is a parking problem in the area, but as the speaker just said, there is no increase in bedrooms, so the council can't insist on an additional parking space being provided for this particular application. The bin storage area is now proposed behind a retaining wall, which is this wall here, so the bin storage area will be behind that out of view. That's all, Chair.
Thank you. Could I ask you to confirm that the proposed development occupy a smaller footprint than the existing outbuildings, etc.?
Just find the floor plans, Chair. You see from the shaded area there, this is the area of the extension, so the existing extension is here and the other outbuilding is here. If you combine those two together, it's roughly the same as the floor space of the proposed extension.
But it's less invasion on the road itself.
That's our opinion, yes. The existing extension is here. The new flat wall will be here.
Councillor Bishop.
Yeah, could you just clarify certainly one thing for me? Sally Clark mentioned she thought she'd had loss of light. Your report says you didn't think there would be any loss of light.
Yeah.
Can we try and reconcile those two views?
Sure. You'll see from, I'll just get to the plans actually. Floor plans are not on there for some reason, but the extension is in two parts. There's a ground floor element, which is, this is the wall here. But the first floor is no further than this shaded area here. The thing I'd like to point out is that the house is actually set back a little bit than the adjoining property next door, so the full 3.3 metres depth isn't as severe because this house is set back than the adjoining property.
Thank you. Councillors. Councillor Spencer Smith.
Yes, I can understand the lady's concern. I've visited the property, as I'm sure many members have. Whilst some of that wall and things are quite old outside, I read that bricks would be reused to make up the wall when they came down. I read that there would be requirements for clay tiles to be used for the extension. And it does seem to be there's a lot of trouble being taken by the officer dealing with this and their architect. Should we just keep it like that? No, I'm minded to approve this plan.
three buildings, maybe four cars. How does that work? I think you didn't quite go that far with your offer. So I'm minded to approve this, but let's see what others say.
Thank you. Can I have a proposal? Are you proposing granting?
If nobody wants to speak, I would propose going with the other's recommendation. Yes.
Fine. I will send that to the chair. Those in favour?
Against?
One. Thank you. That's very good. And so we move on then to item number 9, which is the missing building portion of this application. Mr. Ray.
No further updates, Chair. Thank you.
There is nothing more to add.
Move the recommendation, Mr. Chairman.
Councillor Clark, I move the recommendation. Councillor Steve Hanscom has seconded that, and those in favour of the and those against. So we move on then to item number 10. And Mr. Ray, to you again.
Thank you, Chair. Further updates, Chair. And this is the application site. The existing nursing home is a well established nursing home just on the outskirts of Hibble Wymondley Village. The site is within Greenbelt. The existing nursing home is set well back from the main road, and it's a very well treated environment within the existing car park in front of the building. This is the existing site layout. The entrance is off the main road here. It's the site which accesses an existing car park. This is the main building here, and the extension proposed is in this building here. This is the scale and the appearance of the extension. This has been approved November last year. The main difference with this application is an additional two dormers on this roof slope here, a slight increase to the ridge height, three additional dormers on the elevation, and a lift shaft. Those are the three main differences from the previous application that was approved last year. Nothing else to add, Chair.
Right, we have no registered speakers. Councillors.
I propose the approval. It seems that we've already effectively decided this.
It's really minor change. Seven minor amendments, yeah. Isn't it? So, Councillor Mackin, you're
proposing approval.
And Councillor Rice is seconding the granting. Those in favour of granting, if I can get one, that would be a nice as well.
Yes.
Councillor Davis, are you voting? That's unanimous, thank you. Okay, we'll move on then to item number 11, page 75, which is to consider 1A Church View before the Flaming Kitchen. And Mr. Ray, to you again.
Thank you, Chair. This is the location of the premises. It's part of a large development, members would recall, that was granted consent around 2014. The Premier Inn Hotel is here, and this is the apartment block subject to this application. This is Portwell Lane, and you've got Hermitage Road to the other end here, access to a walkway here. This application relates to the ground floor units and the permission which was granted for either an A1 or an A3 cafe only use. And this application seeks consent for some air conditioning units. This is the unit itself. The ground floor unit has a frontage onto Portwell Lane and a return frontage onto the Riverside walkway. Again, it's a photograph of the existing side elevation here. You'll see there are flats directly above the unit, and in particular, a flat along the
this elevation here. The air conditioning units were originally proposed in this location here, which I felt was unacceptable because of the visual adverse visual impacts. So my suggestion was that they could be placed inside the car parking area behind this grill here, which the applicant agreed to. So there are three air conditioning units on this wall here, inside the undercroft parking area. This is the front of the building. One of the issues that's been raised is the installation of an extract fan on this wall here. I've just come to draw it to me. So this is the layout of the ground floor cafe units, and the air conditioning units in question are proposed in this location here, behind the grill which you saw from the photograph. And they're placed in this kind of formation, one above the other and one to the side. And the extract fan which I mentioned is on the side elevation, approximately this location here. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. So can you have a speaker again? Mr. Tracy Granger, would like to address the committee. Good evening, welcome.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm speaking on behalf of Churchview Limited. When we bought our apartments at Churchview, it was made clear by the joint estate agents, Country Properties and Patrols, the developer White Barn and solicitors acting for White Barn, that the plans and sent for the retail unit, One Churchview, whilst it was A3, it was specified as cafe use only, with such restrictions specifically put in the lease by the developer to protect the purchases of the apartments. We were advised in writing that it would be most likely a family coffee shop deli with facilities for mind food prep only. The lack of ventilation was emphasised to us as an important reason why it would never be viable as a hot food outlet. Opening hours were restricted from 8 to 8, and we were advised there was no prospect of a licence to set alcohol ever being granted. Mr. Tom Ray, an HD planning officer, confirmed that when the planning conditions for the old post office site were agreed, it was anticipated the retail unit would be a low-key, discreet cafe in tune with the upmarket development and surrounding conservation area. As the new landlords, having recently purchased the freehold via Churchview Kitchen Limited, we have already advised the applicants through our solicitors that what they propose is outside the terms of their lease. The original application was for three aircon units on the outside east elevation wall. Mr. Ray is evidently not keen on this from an aesthetic and security point of view, and has suggested the alternative site and garage car park as per the amended application. Either location, however, is close to the apartment balconies and windows and will have attendant noise pollution, smells and fumes, which will negatively impact on our amenity and right enjoyment of our homes. And we do agree with Mr. Ray that the initial proposal was visually unsightly, not secure and prone to vandalism. The second proposal in the undercover garage area would, in addition to reducing the space of our bike store amenity, potentially cause noise escalation plus impact on bikes, cars in terms of dust, spray, etc. Also, the units as submitted actually fail the NHDC noise requirements without the addition of noise reduction treatment in the form of large louvre covers. At this stage, no application has been made for these covers. We have agreed, however, to consider an internal water-cooled air conditioning system subject to noise levels. I was going to mention about the next application, should I? Because there's another one after this one.
I think we'll deal with one at a time, okay. But please remain. Councillors, do you have any questions you'd like to ask of the information you've just received? Mr. Ray, would you like to have a comment?
Just one point, Chair. There are some louvered screens around these air conditioning units. It's difficult to see from this drawing, but they are included as part of the noise mitigation measures.
So are you telling the committee that after consultation and reciting, the noise levels will be acceptable to our standards?
Yes, Chair. What happened was, following the reciting of the air conditioning units, concerns about noise were raised with my colleagues in the environmental health team. They asked for a full noise survey, which the applicant commissioned to carry out. Once that was received, the environmental health officer looked at that and considered that the measures were sufficient to be acceptable in this location.
So what you're saying is that the officers have received the information and that they are content that the noise would not be a nuisance?
That's correct.
Thank you. Councillor Clark? Councillor Bishop, could you pass your thing in now, please?
He won't get it back.
Councillor Paul Clark, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Obviously, I called this in. I do actually know some of the history. This goes back, it's a planning brief for this came to the Hitchin Area Committee many years ago. And it actually had, Wetbarn had some wonderful ideas for which the planning department poo-pooed and dismissed the metal design on the front, which was disappointing because that would have made it lovely. But there were strict conditions placed upon, because of the area that it's in, you know, the type of establishment that would be acceptable there. Although that type of application, I'm going to ask a specific question to seek clarity from the officers, is that a legal case and not a planning consideration because of the conditions that were put in, or is it something we can take into account of? I was going to ask the question about the sound nullification, you know, the insulation, you know, going around them. Whilst they set acceptable levels, residents brought these properties, or sold these properties, without any thought of noise or smells. Because it says on the application, wall-mounted air conditioning units. But they will be taking smells and stuff out of the thing, so there will still be smells so coming out and going up. What mitigation is in place to stop that? Because there are people who have windows on the side of the building that it will affect.
I think, Neil, I'm perhaps getting confused and maybe others have talked about it. Air conditioning is not the same as extraction.
Yeah. So I just wanted to see clarity. We were talking about air conditioning units as opposed to extractor fans.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Chair. Just going back to the use issue. This unit was granted permission as an A1 or an A3 in brackets cafe use. The use here is not being discussed this evening. The application is for the air conditioning units, Chair, only. But whilst looking at the air conditioning units, the environmental health officer was asked to look at an extraction fan which is shown on the drawings on this elevation here, which services the interior of the proposed cafe, and the officer has commented on that. And in fact, the report that was commissioned by the applicant, she says on the report that it's a very robust and thorough report, and that it's been carried out in accordance with the appropriate British standards for noise assessment. The extraction equipment inside the Bose Cafe unit is to allow for the circulation extraction of air only, and it's not fume extraction equipment that you would associate with heavy cooking facilities, like one of these galvanized ducted systems. It's actually an air
exchange unit, which sits on the flag foundation, and the environmental health officer is happy with the detail of that as well.
Thank you. Councillor Bishop, would you pass your mic?
Hello. Yeah, I guess sadly we can't deal with what was or not promised there too. However, planning considerations, the two issues, noise and possibly fuel, can we not put some, if we do approve it, can we not put some conditions in to protect that position? There are not any proposals at the moment.
I think the noise mitigation has been addressed, and the fuels are not anything to do with the air conditioning units. They are the extractor of the sun, so I think it's a different issue.
What if the machinery suddenly doesn't work as well as it used to, and the noise goes up? We've been told it's fine now, but not been a couple of years' time.
Chairman, would you like to come in on that? The units actually haven't been installed yet, but the applicant has submitted a noise survey which includes a maintenance programme for the equipment, and condition 3 on the recommendation covers the eventuality of the installation and maintenance of the equipment to ensure that it is maintained in accordance with the manufacturer's instructions.
Councillor Hunter.
Thank you, Chairman. If this is working, I don't know whether it is or not. Right, okay. I've listened to this, and literally, we're not talking about what it's changed into, the change of use, etc. We're talking about these units. And I think looking at this, as far as the officer is concerned with environmental health, they've looked at all aspects and covered accordingly. If there is a problem with the units at a later date, well, that's a different thing. Obviously, they can approach environmental health. If the noise is too loud, council can take it out and use a vacant order. Literally, I think, Chairman, looking at this and with condition 3, I'll move the officer's recommendation to grant.
Thank you. So we have a move to grant. Do I have a second? Councillor Mansell. Those in favour of granting. And against? Okay. That is granted. And so we move on then to item 12, which again is 1HH34 lane. There are no rooms to speak as well.
This lady was
going to
say everything
we thought
about in the first
day.
She
stopped
her.
This proposal is for the installation of canopies to the front of the building and the side of the building on this elevation and along the return elevation. And during negotiations, the applicant has agreed to reduce the depth or the projection of the front canopy to 2 metres from the original 2.5 metres. This is to avoid any overhang on the footway here. Nothing else to add, Chair?
Thank you. Good evening again.
Thank you. Could you keep the picture on the arm?
Sorry.
I was going to say. Exactly. Would it be possible to see the front of the building again? So, as you can see, the front of the building is like a red brick, and they're going to actually put bright red vermilion colour awnings, which we feel is out of character, not only with the building, but it's going to clash with the perk of the Premier Inn. To be honest, it's quite unsightly. We suggested east elevation awnings down that side, where the yellow sand bucket is,
maybe in the taste of the colour, grey, green, with matching parasols at the front, but it was declined. We are concerned with the colour, definitely not in keeping with the conservation area as well. The awning's logo includes the word wine, but apparently no alcohol license has been applied for. We know NHGC set certain parameters around planning for the site, and it was subsequently written into 13 apartment leases and one retail lease to protect the leaseholders. Notwithstanding, these proposals are outside the terms of the applicant's lease. Our objections are legitimate on both planning grounds and on a standalone basis. As responsible landlords, we will seek to reach some form of acceptable way forward with the applicants. You yourselves have admitted that you did not envisage a restaurant wine bar, but something more discreet, such as a light touch cafe daily. And all we ask is that the terms and the spirit of the original planning and our rights to enjoy our new homes are fully respected. And can I just add that previous to this, there was no application for an extractor unit or an extractor hole going into the wall, even though it's just been passed. It wasn't actually an application for one.
The only thing I would mention, Chair, is in the description, these awnings are actually retractable, so they may not be fully extended all the time.
Okay. Councillor Ross.
Councillor Wright Rice. I'd like a bit of clarification. Reference to the awnings. And perhaps something put into the conditions. Normally when awnings go around a building, the idea is they fit tables and chairs outside, which is a problem on a lot of pavements throughout Hitchin, or throughout most of the towns in North Harps. If the intention is, with these awnings going in, to provide cover for putting tables and chairs outside for smokers, etc., then I would like to see at this time a condition that forbids this around the building, which I feel will interfere with the residents above.
Yeah, okay. I'd like to ask Mr. Ray here. I mean, it may not be looking at it, but the sandy coloured paved area or whatever there is part of the curtilage, and therefore it would be permissible without being on the highway. Mr. Gray, can you confirm that?
That's correct, Chair. Yeah.
So it would be permissible, it would not be encroaching on the highway.
Okay.
Councillor Mr. Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Chair. I have some sympathy with the speaker on the colour and out of keeping with the area. She did refer to the fact the applicant had been approached with a view to changing the colour. Did officers negotiate at all with the applicant?
Through you, Chair, I did suggest they consider changing the colour, but they wanted to the red
ones. Councillor Booth, microphone up, please.
Just a clarification, whether it's come up again about the extractor time. I don't believe that any of these applications involve the extractor time. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have not approved the extractor time.
No, we're discussing the audience right now. And I've since been up to that. Those who don't call me away, it's always been a very drab. Interested in the area, facing the car park opposite. I welcome the redevelopment there. The hotel is clean and sharp. Look at the building there, it's more of a proven vitality for the area. And I think that bringing a little colour and cafe culture into the hitherto drab area is to be applauded, not denied. Councillor Clark. No.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know it's the symptom of goodwill, but I will disagree with you with bringing it. As I say, the original plans put forward by White Barn did actually improve the area quite considerably, but the planning department knocked them back and said they were not appropriate and that we should go for plain, you know, red brick, white brick, you know, proceeding. And that is what the plan went ahead on. Therefore, I'm still of the opinion that the awnings are out of keeping. I take it I will reserve my comments on lettering until the next one, because that is another angst I have, and you know, with the planning departments, but we'll reserve that to them. I still feel that the colour, the gaudiness, the residents are trying to be reasonable and negotiate with the applicant, and hopefully, whether they get given permission tonight or not, that condition or consultation negotiation, that's the word, will continue, and the outcome, which is what I'd hoped for in the first place, where residents and the applicant could be content going forward, which was the best one can hope. There has to be compromise on either side. I fully appreciate that, but I feel this is going a step too far, and I'll find myself not able to support this recommendation.
Yeah, it may well be that the applicant would be prepared to look again at the car, but with all fairness, you're talking about a vibrant town centre site, and are we to discourage enterprise?
I've always supported enterprise, Mr. Chairman, and a vibrant centre for car parking and residents living. There are other areas the other side of Hermitage Road that are more vibrant and colourful, and quite rightly so, and I fully encourage and support those.
Councillor Skidmore.
Yes, I think, Chairman, talking about season of goodwill, I tend to go along with Councillor Clark. I mean, there is a difference between vibrant and colours that clash, and I think we are talking about something here which a number of us are sympathetic to the concerns of the Speaker. I just wonder whether a deferral to and indicate the general feeling of the committee that this isn't quite appropriate would enable a negotiation to come in a more satisfactory colour.
I mean, is this colour, is it this particular colour, this particular hue, which is the nub of the application? Is it negotiable?
I understand, Chair, that the applicant has another unit with this sort of corporate colour, if you like. But I have passed the concerns of the residents on to the applicant about the colour and asked them to consider an alternative colour. They would like a decision on this particular colour.
Councillor Spencer Smith.
It's not this one. Colour absolutely set in stone, or is it negotiable?
It's negotiable, it will never be right, as the new freeholder requires. We might be able to tone down the rate, but remember that in pitching, there's quite a lot of rate warming anyway, so it's nothing that's, if you look at Cafe Roof,
I just needed to know whether we might be able to tone the rate down, but it would not be right.
Fine. Councillor
Clark. Can I second Councillor Steers Hanscom's request for a deferral on this application, which Mr. Way actually didn't answer the question about, to allow these discussions rather than trying to do it in committee, which I think is not appropriate.
I'm just concerned that what you would be, what the development is, the installation of the awnings, the canvas which creates the colour, isn't technically the development. So you can either grant permission for awnings or you can't. But in future, the canvas can be replaced at any time, and that would never require planning permission. So I don't think it's within your power to insist on a colour to the canvas, because that isn't the development. The development is the installation.
So I think what you're saying is that we are going to be voting on the principle of an awning, not the colour.
Can we reserve the rights? Reserve rights for the colour to be agreed, rather than, I don't have a colour in mind, but I know how bad I have the colour mismatch, which probably pertains to the shirt I'm wearing, but it is, we're trying to get some consensus and adult discussion going here, to make it as acceptable as can be. So whilst I accept and understand Mr. Ellis's position that it's the awning, can we reserve the right, for subject to agreement between residents and the applicant to get an acceptable colour? That's without specifying.
The problem there is if they don't dig the hills, you're not going to get an agreement. You'll have an awning with that colour. I think probably what we need to do is to actually take the actual proposal in front of us, which is the installation of three retractable awnings. Is this acceptable in planning terms, or is it not acceptable in planning terms? Councillor Rice.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Chair. Because item number 12 is installation of three number retractable awnings. Nothing about colour or anything else, it's about installation of three awnings. Are we in agreement with three awnings or not in agreement? I would think that's quite simple. I'm quite prepared to recommend the officer's recommendation for acceptance of those awnings. It's when we move on to 13, where it's asking integral advertised logos and text logos and written text as a separate item, that's when we might be able to adjust address the colour.
Do you want to take that as a proposal for
that? I would propose three awnings.
Right, do I have a second then? Council is agreeing. Those in favour, please. And those against? And the other side. Right, so that is granted. I'll put my little mark on that and hope that the menu can be an out of office negotiation and a happy month of months. So we move on to number 13 then, which is page 89, which is 1HFU for the Road. Mr. Wade, can you please imagine that?
Thank you, Chair. Same site, obviously. This application is for the advertisements on the canopies that have been approved. And they involve the M logo and the text underneath. That is what is being sought for the advertisement consent. None of the text or adverts are illuminated.
Can I ask the
the script and the logo that we see before us, is this indicative of the sort of calling and logos that we see in other parts of history?
I believe so, Chairman.
Yes. Okay. Right. Councillor Carter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is where I have my issue with the writing and lettering on awnings and advertising. We had an application before us where we banned takeaway being advertised. So the applicant put takeout, and this council has done absolutely nothing because it says it is powerless to do anything about it. So therefore, can I ask, is takeout, takeaway going to be on this? Because then that takes... do we have the exact wording? Because I can't see it in the report, which could be my eyesight going with the lighting in here at this time of night, to try and understand and be specific. And if so, if they deviate from that, what powers does this council actually have to actually enforce the applicant to do what is said, please? Thank you. That my colleague next to me has pointed that out. Obviously, deli and wine requires a license to be able to sell wine, so they can't put that on there until such time as they have a license. And the license is not dealt with by this committee, it is by a separate committee, which is, I know it's difficult when you go round the houses as, you know, the original thing. So if that's what it says, that's what we're approving. If they add anything else, what powers does this committee have to do anything about it? They start doing takeaway or take out. As I say, that is one from a Mediterranean cafe just down round the square.
The only thing I'll say here is that if you were minded to grant this, you could condition it. This is the exact wording, and that any alteration or deviation from that would be a breach of condition, and therefore would be brought back to the council.
So still, they can only use the wording here if they get a licence to sell wine. If they don't get a licence to sell wine, that is conditioning it to something that they're then not able to do and gives the wrong impression. So,
well, it's not implying that they are licensed. There are restaurants, and I know Harpon, for instance, he's had a drop in the old name, where you can actually take your own wine. So you can consume wine on the premises, but it is not licensed for the sale of wine. So I think that's probably a bit of a good point there.
What I would like it, perhaps, condition is that it says no takeout or takeaway, or does not refer to that on the awning whatsoever.
Well, if these are the words that are applied for, and you were to grant this application, they would be the only words that would be allowed. Am I right?
Yeah. So subject to appeal by the applicant.
Well, yeah, but okay.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
You're looking into the future and you're guessing what might happen. Who knows? Okay.
Conspiracy or something else, which I won't mention, if you like, company.
Councillor Steers, Hanson.
I'll just simply move the recommendation here.
Thank you. So I have a second for the Councillor Manton. So it has been seconded and it has been proposed that the application be granted. Those in favour?
With that condition that you pointed out.
What condition? You're correct.
That is the word. We voted on that specific word, and that any deviation from that would be a breach of
This is an advertisement in St. Patrick's, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. So we'll just say that those in favour again, please. Did you get that?
Can you hold cards up at the same time?
Thank you. Those against? Abstentions? Thank you. That has been granted. Thank you. Something on to number
14,
which is page 95,
it's
a 22
Broadbeef fiction,
and Mr. Ray,
you're going to introduce us. Thank you, Chair. Just one item for our executive members, Chair. I received a letter from the occupier of 180 Whitehaven Road, who raises no objection to the increase in height of the property at 22 Broadbeef. The resident comments that many bungalows in the area are being converted into two-storey dwellings suitable for growing families. Just to take you through these slides, Chair. This is the location plan. This is Broadbeef here, and the application property is this one here. This is the application property, traditional bungalow, set down from the pavement, set back from the highway. Property next door has had roof conversion with dormers. This is the side elevation of number 24 Broadbeef. This is the application property here. Side windows on number 24. It's taken from the rear garden of number 24. You'll see this is the rear elevation of the application property, and the rear extension would wrap around the rear roof here, the flat roofed rear extension. These are the side windows of number 24 Broadbeef, where the occupier has raised concerns about loss of light in two these windows. Again, this is the front elevation of the applicant property, number 24 on the left, this is number 22. You see the relationship here, and the slight fall in levels between the applicant property and 24. This is the street scene where you see there are, there's a very wide verge on Broadbeef, then you have the footpath, and then there's some distance down to the front of the application property. And these very large hornbeam trees planted within the verge. These are the elevations, Chair. And you'll see on the top here, this is the existing bungalow, and this is the proposed increase in height with rooms within the roof space. This is the street scene drawing which was requested by officers. You'll see this is the existing arrangement, number 22 in the middle, and number 22 as extended. What's happening here is that the existing wall is being raised up by a metre and a half, so the use line is raised and the accommodation is provided within the room or the new extension. And the roof is a hit and pitch roof, pitching away from both sides. Nothing else to add, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we have registered speakers for our form this evening.
To get it approved, it is changed little and is a six-bedroom home for a three-bedroom bungalow, not just using existing loft space, but raising the roof above our property by about 12 feet. What is a shabby bungalow? Well, according to Wikipedia, a shabby bungalow, used in British English, is for where the area enclosed within the pitched roof contains rooms and is fully integrated into the fabric of the property. The Oxford Dictionary definition is similar. A type of bungalow in the style of a shabby, specifically a bungalow with living space in the loft. Throwing any past as a shabby bungalow seems both false and misleading. An overdevelopment totally out of character with the nearby properties in Broadbeef. At one time, 33 1/3% increase seemed normal, but this, with a front porch and rear kitchen extension, is more like 3 times the existing bungalow. Crucial errors of the architects in terminology and the important omission of a parking plan make this unacceptable. The planning officers compounded the errors with too many factual mistakes and a failure to include the wraparound materials change to the garage and kitchen walls, not using bricks, makes it totally out of character. His confusing report and inclusion, therefore unreliable. Please refer to it now. 3.1, our road is one word, not two. In the last paragraph, number 22 is actually number 24. 4.11, line 5. The windows are not dormer windows on the second story. Chambers Dictionary states a dormer window is a small window with a gable projecting from a sloping roof. Whitehorse Lane does not exist in Ditchy. If he means Whitehall Road, they include a different colour of brick and are unrelated to the street scene now part of Portland. 4.2.1. It is a two-story, not one and a half story house. They are not dormer windows. 4.3.2. The planning officer accepts that the development seems to be, to quote, at odds with the prevailing form of development, that is dwellings with single story eaves. It should have been rejected on those grounds alone, and is a disproportionate development. 4.3.2. 1. The ceiling forms and levels is further indicated down to number 24, and so, number 2, the property, despite the position, would dominate number 24. 3. If the use of the dwelling need to be reduced, then it should be rejected. The trees are deciduous, need I say more? 4. Matching materials are not specified in the report. Our balance suggests doubts by the planning officer. We disagree with his conclusions. 4.3.3. The owners of number 20 are both elderly and seriously ill, and have asked me to raise their concerns with mine in a handwritten statement. This I have done, but they also question whether the foundations are adequate for a two-story house with building regulations becoming stricter. I have concerns about the safety of all three properties, if not. 4.3.4. It is a front, not rear extension, as stated. Light is already restricted. 4.3.5. Unlike our windows position, their master bedroom window affects the privacy of our garden as planned. 4.3.6. A busy road with Whitehall School parking outside the properties. An architect making council application states that for 6 bedrooms, 4 parking spaces minimum are needed. The parking plan is vital, with difficult turning on the property and onto the highway, causing safety issues. Even 2 parking spaces would cause issues. To sum up, there appears to be more than enough reasons for you to consider rejecting the officer's advice. They include the overbearing impact on amenities of adjacent properties, out of character of the street scene, inappropriate scale of the form and shape of it in that locality, lack of a parking plan, loss of light struck shadow to living room at number 24, lack of privacy in the neighbouring properties of their gardens, and setting the preferred development in the character of Broadway. There is also the misleading terminology of the architects, together with a number of errors and 3 important omissions in the planning officer's report. We hope that you will agree and not approve this application. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Let's wait for just 1 moment. Councillors, do you have any questions or clarification, Mr. Foreman's presentation?
Sure. I apologise for being lost, but I've tried to do it within 5 minutes. I was enjoying it.
You did well, you had 6 seconds left. Thank you. That's if I can ask Mr. Foreman to return to his seat, and Mr. Mike Pearcy to come and address the committee, who is the applicant's agent.
I'm Mike Pearcy. I'd quickly like to, I'm seeking to rebut the assertion that there is a wide book of interest here. We are, sorry, Mr. and Mrs. funds, we made the application out here today, and I'm actually going to speak on their behalf. We are very happy to engage in the process, and I do appreciate that the earlier items on your agenda, we would completely agree that they are of a wider public interest, but we are seeking to report that there is no wider public interest in this, and it should fully support the planning officer's report. And although I do find this a little dry myself as a Christmas evening out, I do feel that you are to be applauded for your commitment to the earlier evening talk. I need to quickly scotch two rumours, one that's just been raised. I am not an architect, I'm an engineer, I am a military trained engineer, and I do not pretend to be an architect. Architect is a preserved term in law. I don't wear flowery shirts, I don't draw ladies in pushchairs. I am an engineer. Secondly, some of the earlier speakers actually called me a little bit to the loo when you had your break. I'm not a spine barrister for public land development, so please, I'd like to scotch that before I start. I am a state agent for Mr. and Mrs. Clarend. The property at number 22 Broadmead, it is a bungalow. When we put the application in, the initial application was put back in July, and indeed I was actually engaged by Mr. and Mrs. Clarend approximately 2 years ago, so this has been well thought through. We did actually put the application in to convert the bungalow to a house. It was on the planning officer's request that I called it a dormer bungalow. So I'm not trying to split hairs or anything. It is a development to turn it into a double-storey development. However, it is not a six-bedroom development. I did raise this again with Mr. Ray, that it shows that the bedrooms 1 to 3 downstairs, but the bedrooms 1 to 3 have now been moved upstairs. I did actually ask if you want to put extra drawings in, but you felt that would just confuse the issue at this stage. However, Mr. and Mrs. Clarend do reserve the right. They live in that house, it's their family house, they've lived there for 6 years. They have 2 children, Matthew, 8, and Amelia, 5. They do reserve the right if they want to have more children, they need to have an extra bedroom. And they are, like many families in Hitchin, they are an extended family. Mr. Clarend's family live in the north of England, I believe Newcastle, Scotland, and Mr. Clarend's family live in the Midlands. And therefore, it's not unreasonable that they've got extra bedrooms or space for when people visit, indeed, at this time of year. It is their family home. It has been for the last 6 years. They've never put an application before. You'll have seen from the photographs, lots of other properties around that area have been developed, and I would say probably overdeveloped to the front and to the rear. And indeed, the house to the lower side has front extensions and rear extensions, which might account for the reason why there's a loss of light to the middle of the house. This bungalow was built in the 1950s. It was a modern house in the 1950s. It was a family house designed for families. It is not fit for purpose for the 2020s and beyond. And that what we're seeking to do is to make it a family house. Indeed, Mr. and Mrs. Clarend wanted to simply safeguard the family and future-proof for the provision of their family and possibly the great extended family. The children might never actually move out. They might have to live there. Therefore, this perception that bungalows in that area have to be retirement properties, well, we're going on to completely different political agendas if we're talking about that. It's intended as a family home. There is no architectural word for this house. It's a bungalow of brick and tile, and we're going to try and actually build it. We did initially, with the initial application, seek to put a lower roof and actually put a metal roof on there and make an architectural statement. That, unfortunately, wasn't acceptable. So we have dropped the actual height of the roof, and again, just to clarify, we're not seeking to put an extra 4 metres on. It is 1.5 metres that we're looking to raise that ridge height. I feel like I'm just rambling at this stage, but I can only say that this is to be a family home. I'm glad that's coming, because I'm actually running out of time. Therefore, all I'd like to say is, therefore, I do not believe that there is a wider public interest in refusing this application. And I would therefore ask the committee to support the recommendation of the Minister and grant the proposal as seen. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. I'll just remain for 1 moment. Members, do you have any questions or clarification, Mr. Pearson's presentation? No. Thank you, Mr. Pearson. Mr. Ray, would you like to comment on anything you've heard so far?
Just 2 points on which Mr. Foreman raised, Chair. We actually haven't received an objection from the occupiers at number 20 Broadway.
You haven't?
We haven't.
No, no, okay.
And secondly, a parking plan is recommended as one of the conditions if granted permission.
Members. Councillor Rice and Councillor Clark.
Can I ask Mr. Wright, has there been a light impact assessment done? Reference the complaint from the next door about loss of light.
Through you, Chair, I'm no councillor, there hasn't been an assessment done. It's purely a judgment on my behalf in terms of the light.
Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Obviously, that leads to the question. Can I ask for what qualifications you have with doing light assessment is one question. Second question, we have had contrary statements, one that is 12 metres high, one that is 1.6 metres high, so there is a difference there. Can you clarify what the actual case is? The front door windows, also, are they dormers or are they flat surface which would not make them dormers, is it a slope roof? And the final question for now is there any side windows against 24 or 22 which could be overlooking and therefore should be conditioned to be obscure glazed?
Mr. Ray.
Thank you, Chair. I've actually got 30 years' experience in town and country planning, so I think my judgment's on my reasonable for this purpose. In terms of the flat-roofed dormers, I would call them flat-roofed dormers. A dorm window is something inserted within the roof space, and to me, those windows are inserted within the roof space. There is a side window on the side elevation facing towards number 24, but that's an existing side window to a bedroom which isn't changing. And the actual increase in height, as Mr. Pearcey said, is 1.5 metres, so the eaves level is rising 1.5 metres.
4 foot? Yeah. Sorry, ideally no one.
Also, yeah, 4 foot.
Four foot.
Also, yeah. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. Thank you. Councillor Spencer Smith. Microphone, please.
Yes, I visited the streets and the park looked up and down. I have to say that I think the proposal would not look out of place. We are looking here at the plan, we can see other properties there. It does not look to have a floor space wildly out of sync with its neighbours. Note that both houses to the left and right of it have various types of extensions done to them. And it is only an increase of 1.5 metres, so I would be going for this.
Thank you. Councillor Mansell.
Thank you. My patience needed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would have thought the only possible area which, as a planning committee, we really should be concerned with the street scene. I was wondering if I could ask Mr. Ray to go back to that picture of the street scene so we can judge the impact this would have on the public view, public vista.
You had a picture of the street scene.
Yeah, that's the one.
Thank you, Councillor. Yeah, I mean, that was part of the rationale for calling was the streets at the Oakfield Estate as it was built had a specific design and temperament. As Mr. Geary said, the bungalows, a number of them have been changed, altered, developed, quite rightly, but in sympathy with the thing. This just seems to go against it, although, with the changes, I can understand, it fits in better, so does reduce my concerns somewhat on the thing. I have concerns, obviously, and perhaps we can take that offline the comments Mr. Foreman made about the accuracies of the report. I'm likely to abstain on this for my part.
Thank you. I notice that number 24 has got a 1.9 litre side fence, so that presumably would obliterate any dew from the side window.
This is 24, 22 there, has it?
Mr. Chairman, can I clarify the number of bedrooms? Because it was said that there were six, but I mean, we can't condition bedrooms. So what somebody says is a living room could become a bedroom. That's not part of the planning process, and we're stuck.
Equally, an attached garage could have the upper level door taken and the window put in, and another one there.
Do you need planning permission for that?
No. We're talking here of an increase in ridge height of 1.7 metres, which is about 5 foot six.
Oh,
5.6
to
7.3. Am I right, Mr. Bray? Did you wish to speak, Councillor?
I propose to front.
I have a proposal for granting, seconded by Councillor Bishop. Those in favour of granting? Thank you. And I believe there's one abstention, is that right? Thank you very much. So that has been granted. I think that concludes our planning applications today. We'll just have a very quick update on the plan of the building in May.
So first of all, appeals lodged on page 105. The last appeal, on page 106 on the table, is the Gladman's Permanents Limited. They had lodged an appeal, as you already knew actually, because when this application was reported to committee, appeal had already been lodged. And the planning inspectorate said that they initially said that they wanted it to be held as a public inquiry. And then we pointed out that they appeared to have made that decision before reading your reasons for refusal. So we've asked them to reconsider that. And at the moment, we haven't got any confirmation as to the exact method of appeal. It's a bit similar to the Pertin one that's already in, isn't it, Tom? That the issues are similar, and we haven't had confirmation of the method yet of that, so we're hoping to avoid a public inquiry. I think at best they only require a hearing. But we'll update you further on that. So initially it looks like it may end up being a public inquiry, and we have appointed a consultant, because that was Kirsty Holt's application. She's no longer working with the authority. And we will get a barrister if it's a public inquiry as well. On the appeal decisions, I've just sent you an additional decision notice, which goes with the Whitwell appeal decision. Now, for some reason, we didn't attach that one to the committee paper, so I've just put it in there. You can see that the appeal has been allowed, and you can also see that the inspector has awarded a costs against the council for that decision. And there are two aspects to the costs award. First of all, he didn't think that we were able to substantiate the reason for refusal of planning permission in any meaningful way. And even though the committee's decision was a subjective decision, and you know in previous examples, we tend to advise you that if you are minded to refuse permission, we steer away from technical matters where you don't have technical evidence to support you. But the lesson here is that even when you go down a route that is subjective, you can end up coming proper at that appeal. So the inspector was very concerned that we didn't have enough to substantiate the reason for refusal. The second aspect of the cost claim is it is disappointing, but it's to do with the fact that the appellant was trying to negotiate a Section 106 agreement leading up to the appeal decision, and he claimed that we weren't proactive in helping him along in that process, and the inspectors agreed with it. So unfortunately, the recent refusal has been slammed, and also award costs, and our efforts, that's myself and Marinette's efforts, and John Chapman, who's a case officer, and we've been slammed as well. So we're expecting quite a hefty bill when that comes into the council, but we don't have details of that yet. And just one further update on the... on page 109, Mr. John Connors. As that says there, appeal was withdrawn on the 20th of November. So the appeal was withdrawn 15 days before the inquiry was due to start. And we have now received a new application, which I think is being advertised now. We've got the site notices, so we have received a new plan application for the same development, which will be reported to this committee in due course. So that's it.
I don't understand that at all. I don't understand that. I think that went through.
I'll tell you in a minute.
It wasn't. You did grant permission for the to see through. You merely decided that you weren't going to defend the appeal.
Okay, fine. That concludes our lengthy meeting this evening. Thank you very much for coming. Cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can I ask
you
one question?
I don't want to extend the meeting, so I'm not going to say anything at all apart from I take issue with some of the things Simon Les just said about the work of you. And I'll be writing to all of you and not.
Thank you. Well, with that, can I A, close the meeting, B, wish you all a very, very happy Christmas and a prosperous new year and a successful new year. And with closing, you might come and have a little glass of bubbles with us, you can talk, you know, again.